I get a chance to talk about the very reason that we've all gathered here today. I get the opportunity to depict to you the story, the greatest story ever told. And it's not just a story, but it's reality. I don't hear you. Let me explain to those of you that are watching online and those of you that are in the room, this is not a fiction. This is not just a powerful fairy tale. This is not just some kind of folklore. But this is a story that has been heralded for 2,000 plus years. It has been the saving and transforming grace for trillions of people. Quadrillions of people from the time it began till now. This is the thing that literally saved our lives. This thing wasn't done in a corner. And the reason why that the story still exists today is because it was more than just a tale. It was more than just somebody making up and contriving a thought. It was literally an occurrence that took place on a cross and in a tomb. Hallelujah. And all I want to tell you today is that it's all true. That's my text today. It's all true. Look at somebody next to you and say, it's all true. Now, there are many questions. There are many different things that have developed as time has grown and technology has increased. And now anybody can get on the internet and put themselves to be an expert of things that they have no clue about. And you see that there's been a rash, a big rash. Somebody bring my phone to me and my glasses, I'm blind. There's been a big rash of different people that have gone onto the internet refuting the legitimacy of Christ and Christianity. People that call themselves experts. This is not my phone. I'm about to mind somebody else's business. This ain't my phone. Oh, Jesus, I don't know. Okay. I don't want to see nothing. But there have been so many different sites and so many different people making themselves to be experts and declaring that they know that the Bible's been tampered with and Jesus Christ, you know, he was not God. He wasn't really God. He was just a prophet. There are many different, but then you don't understand the Greek and the Hebrew. All of that is fine and good, but the truth of the matter is, it's all true. There are many different thoughts and many different opinions and many different ideas. And really, they're just to confuse the populace, to make people say, so-and-so said this and this one declared that. I'm not even going to that church. I'm not going to buy into this thing. And you deprive yourself of the greatest life change known to man. Look at three people and say, it's all true. Come on, look at three people and say, it's all true. Amen. I gotta find this scripture real quick. I gotta find this scripture real quick. Hallelujah. There was an account and an occurrence that happened on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. There was an account. There was something that happened on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. There it is. And in the book of Mark, the 15th chapter and the 39th verse, it simply says this: at the end of the crucifixion, as they, the centurion soldiers, were about to take Jesus off of the cross, and he said his seven last sayings, and the last thing that he said was, "Father, it is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit." And he hung his head and he gave up the ghost. That means he died. And when he died, the earth quaked. There was a big earthquake. Hallelujah. There was a huge earthquake. And the veil in the temple that covered up the holies of holies ripped in two. And the sun was blotted out. Hallelujah. And everybody there became afraid. And verse 39 said, and when this happened, and when the centurions which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, and the earth shook, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Sometimes it takes some real, real faith to believe. Sometimes we've got to leave the realm of what we call logic and go into the spiritual world called faith. I don't hear anybody. Sometimes we've got to understand that our thinking is finite, that we don't have the ability to really embrace the thought of God coming down in the form of man, taking the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, upon himself, hanging on a cross after living for 33 years, hanging on a cross, and then dying, hallelujah, for the sake of all mankind. And after dying, let me tell you the story. After he died, look at me. After he died, they put his body in a borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. They put his body in the borrowed tomb, and they covered the tomb up of Joseph of Arimathea. They covered the tomb up with a boulder to ensure that he would not get out, to ensure that no one could come and steal that body and claim that he rose. And when they laid the dead body of Jesus in the tomb and covered it up with the boulder, he left his body and went into hell, because there were some people that were on in a specific compartment that died believing in him. I don't hear a saint in this room. That died believing in him. And David made a statement that said, "You will not leave my soul in hell." Abraham was looking for the one whose, the kingdom whose builder and maker was God. And he went, and the Bible said he preached to those that were captive. And he literally liberated them into a place called paradise. You know that place called paradise that he talked to the thief on the right side of him about as he hung on the cross? Hallelujah. And the thief on the left mocked him. As the thief was dying, he mocked him and said, "If you really are who you say you are, come down off the cross and get us down too." And Jesus, suffering agony, could not respond, for he could barely breathe. He was stretched so tight, and his hands were bleeding from the spikes in his wrist and the spikes in his feet. And as he's gasping for air, this thief on the left mocks him. And he cannot answer back, but the thief on the right looked across and said, "Shut your mouth. We deserve what we're getting because we're guilty. But this man has done no wrong." Then he looks over to the suffering, bleeding, bludgeoned Jesus, who's gasping for air. And he says, "Master, I know I don't deserve this, But when you come into your kingdom, that means I know that you're a king. But when you come into your kingdom, I don't have to come with you because I'm too messed up. I'm guilty of the thing I'm dying for. But when you come into your kingdom, just remember I believed. Remember me. And Jesus, because of this thief, guilty thief's faith, stop dying for 1 second. He's the master of life. I'm trying not to cry. He stopped dying for 1 second, and he looks to his right, and he gasps for air enough to talk to him. He said, this day, son, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. You're going to be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Then he made a statement, it is finished. It is finished, meaning that I've taken all the sins of mankind upon me. I have completed my journey, and I'm about to pay the ultimate price for every man so that when they call on me, they will have assurance that their sins are washed away. Hallelujah. And then death came to claim him, and he cheated death. He's a wonder. He's the God of life. He cheated death. And before death could claim him, he said, oh, no, no, into thy hands, into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died. And when he bowed his head, a thief on the right bowed his head and went with him into paradise. Somebody say, it's all true. They lay him, they take him off of the cross. His limp, emaciated, beaten, scourged, thorn-pierced, spear-pierced in the side, ribbons of flesh hanging from his back from the beating. They take him off of the cross. They put him in somebody else's tomb who donated the tomb to Jesus. They put a stone in front of it, so no one can come and abscond with the body and declare he rose. You saw the skit that the young people did up here. And they set 100 guards in front of the tomb to make sure no one steals the body. But on the morning of the third, that only God could do. Something miraculous happened. An angel appears in front of 100 soldiers. And when the soldiers see the angel was so glorious that 100 soldiers fainted away. All of them became unconscious. And the angel, laughing, touches the stone that it took many men to put in front of the tomb. Touches the stone, and the stone rolls away. And the angel, bows down, covers himself with his wings, as a long Galilean leg comes out of the mouth of the tomb. And as he comes out of the tomb, he rises up and he stretches out and he declares, "All power." Been given unto me in heaven and in earth and in under the earth. All power. It's all true. It's all Shakara. Let the naysayers debunk it. Let the heathens declare that it's not genuine. Let the limited minds try to think themselves intelligent enough to comprehend it. But the bottom line is, the greatest attempt of man to understand the spiritual fails. The greatest attempt of man, from the greatest minds that men know, cannot wrap their minds around the truth of the supernatural, the spiritual, the magnificence of God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And you may be sitting next to somebody who says, "Yeah, I'm just here because you invited me, but I don't believe all this stuff." But the bottom line is, evil, whether you believe it or not, God cannot deny himself. You may deny him, but God cannot deny himself. "I don't believe it." But then explain to me, non-believer. Explain to me, skeptic. Explain to me the works of God's hand. That this very earth that you're standing on now, that is spinning at a rate that causes there to be gravity to hold you down, the third planet from the sun, that is heated in the summer and cold in the winter, whose shores, seas never pass their shores. Explain to me how it circles in its orbit around the dying sun. Explain to me how you gained so many years. Explain to me how you function without any automation. Explain to me how you can think with something called a brain that's just a glob of flesh in your mind. Explain to me how that ball of flesh in your head can still retain memory. Explain to me how you are mobile and can move just by the whim of a thought. Science cannot explain it to you, for science still baffled by it. Scientists are still trying to study science to understand the mystery of human beings. Doctors can't understand it. That's why they're still practicing medicine. To you non-believers, explain to me how this God that people say is not real, explain to me how he is still healing bodies. No. I'm not talking about just a common cold. I'm talking about the God that healed me of leukemia in 1991. I'm trying not to holler. I'm talking about when they told me I had leukemia and I was bleeding on the inside. And they told me my electrocytes were all the way up to here, and my leukocytes, I didn't even know what those were, all the way up to here. And my white blood cells had multiplied, and they found leukemia in my blood. Explain to me, explain to me how by somebody praying to this God you don't believe in, how someone praying to this God that you say is not real, this God that you've got many questions about, explain to me how that very God, well, Jesus never said he was God. Oh, you didn't read that book right. That very God that I went to and people prayed over me to turn that whole thing around in a month's time. Where the doctor that did the bone marrow test had to come back and ask me, how did you do this? His name was Dr. Lim Choi. Said, how did you do this? My thing is, do what? He said, in this graph, your leukocytes are here, your white blood cells are here, your electrocytes are here, and we found leukemia. But in this test we did 3 days ago, we find no leukemia and all of your signs are normal. How did you do this? Well, it was my time to testify. I told them, before you went to school for medicine, before there was a school for you to go to for medicine, there is a God. I'm not gonna holler, I'm not gonna holler, I'm not gonna holler. There is a God, and he is the healer, not a healer, he is the healer. And I'm still here today. I'm still alive today. By the power of the Most High God, 30 years going strong, and I'm still here today. Don't tell me there's not a God. I'm about to lose it. Don't tell me there's not a God. Can I take you back a little further? Hallelujah. Can I take you back a little further? Hold on, don't push me, don't push me. I got 2 minutes left. Don't push me. When I was a little boy, oh God, Shandala Bahuya, of 14 years old, my mother was taking us on a boat trip with Bethel Gospel Tabernacle. We were going on July 3rd on a boat trip. Hallelujah. And I woke up that morning and I was getting my clothes together, but the Holy Ghost was moving on me. And I was singing, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. And my mother heard me singing this. And she said, Donnie, stop singing that song. And I was crying, getting my clothes together, crying. We got dressed and we got in the car. And we drove down Albany Avenue. And when we got to Benjo Drive, my sister Marlene was in the car with us. Got to Benjo Drive, and a car came out and cut us off, and a car spinned around. And I was in the very, very back of the station wagon, and the car back hit the pole, and my head went through the side window. That's Shema. Cut going out and cut coming back in. Glory to God. Cut to the skull. I'm trying not to preach. Trying to talk to you, but I feel a preacher coming on. And I was 14 years old, and I got out the car. My sister Marlene looked at me, and my sister Olivia was screaming and crying. And I said, what's wrong? And Marlene said, Donnie, your head. And when I put my hand up, it was flapped over, and the blood just started pouring out. So much that she took my coat, my shirt off, my polyester shirt off. It's so nice, big lapels, everything. Lapels came down to here. had on my Herman Munster shoes. And I took it off and they put it on my head, and that became soaked with blood. And the neighbor was driving by. Marlene is my witness. And the neighbor, Mr. Wright, was driving by, and he stopped and put us in the car to go to Brunswick Hospital. And I sat in between my mother, and I think it was Marlene. And I said, "Mom, I feel I'm cold and I want to go to sleep." She said, "Don't go to sleep." And I said, and the blood was just coming down. And she said, "Donnie, pray." And I said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm 14, but I'm saved." That's why when you heard little 17-year-old Kevin Gonzalez, he saved and preached the message of life. And I put my hand on my head. And I said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command this blood to stop." And the whole entire scar went white and the blood stopped. The man driving the car was looking in the rearview mirror and said, "How did you do that?" My mother screamed, "Just drive." And when I got to the hospital, I lay on the table with no pain. This God is a wonder. Head wide open and no pain. Because God knows how to take care of those who believe in him. I'm about to lose my mind. And I'm not the only one with a testimony. You're sitting next to a testimony. You're sitting next to a miracle. So while the unbelievers are saying that this is not true, we're here by the grace of God. While the naysayers are declaring that this is not a true experience, I'm here by the miracles of a God you don't believe in. I've got news for you. This God is alive, and he is well, and he is in love with you. My time is up. That's my testimony of this God that people say is not true. As I said, that there are people next to you that are living witnesses of Jesus Christ. I don't mind anybody's opinion, but their opinion is not based on experience. I don't mind anybody sitting down and trying to legitimize or delegitimize based on their carnal research. But my thing is, why don't you try him first and see if he's not real? If you really want to make an educated opinion, let it be from experience. Let it be from experience. Don't tell me fried chicken ain't good and you ain't never had fried chicken. Play. Try him. A lot of our problems are because we made choices without him. A lot of the trouble that came into our lives is because we made decisions without him. A lot of the things that we're dealing with today, struggling through today, troubled with today, is because we made decisions without his loving advisement. Jesus said, "Come unto me." He said, "Come unto me." Everybody that's struggling and laboring, and I'll give you rest. I can't come like this. What? You can't get clean yourself. I'm gonna wait until I get things better. You'll never get better. Because the very essence of man is sin. And God doesn't say, "Get yourself together, then come to me." He says, "Come just as you are." It's all true. It's all true. Well, I can't come. Well, they said I can't come because I'm this. They say I can't come because I'm that. They say I can't come. They say, that's the problem. They said, don't listen to what they said. Listen to what he said. He said, "Anybody that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." Are you kidding me? He's sitting back waiting. Right now, this very second, Jesus is sitting on his throne waiting. He's pulling on your heart, but he can't make you come. But he can pull on your heart and make you desire something. And he's sitting back waiting for you to move because it's based on your free will. He can call you, but you can resist him. But the question I got for you, haven't you resisted him long enough? Haven't you tried it your way long enough? This God that came down and took on your sins and died on a cross to save you, and then he says, all you've got to do is come to me. All you've got to do is come to me. But I'm not going to ever be like the rest of y'all. He don't want you to be like the rest of us. He wants you to be like you. Because he's looking to change you. I marvel at how some people think just because we got on white don't mean you got to wear white. We just look good in white. That's all. It doesn't mean that you've got to do this. And no. You all you've got to do is come to Jesus as you are. And he will show you who you are really in him. You've tried. You could not find yourself in the drink. You could not find yourself in the smoke. You could not find yourself in the snort. You could not find yourself in the sex. You could not find yourself in vulgarity. You could not find yourself in all the different things that you tried to do. And before you know it, you tried these things to try to be cool or to try to get away, and then all of a sudden you became addicted to it. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you. Addicted to the sex, addicted to the drink, addicted to the smoke, addicted to the pills, addicted to whatever it is. But the bottom line is you tried to do it on your own. But Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I'll be everything you need. You won't need that anymore. Because he fulfills every aspect of man's life. Y'all corny, y'all boring. Are you kidding me? This is the best life that there is. If the person next to you is not affirming it, don't worry about them. I'm telling you, this is the best life that there is. White, black, yellow, brown, red. This is the best life that there is. While you're trying to find your way through life, you need to make your way to life. Jesus is life.